Bibles to Exodus chapter 29, and we're going to look at the first 28 verses of this chapter. And the title of our message, it's 2 weeks on consecrating the priests. Now, chapters 25 through 40, we've been telling you in the book of Exodus, have to do with the setting up of the tabernacle and the setting up of the priesthood and all of that so that the children of Israel could worship the Lord. And it was all done according to the pattern that God showed Moses on Mount Sinai. We begin with chapter 25, looking at the commencement of the project, the actual building project of the tabernacle and the construction of the major pieces of furniture within the holy place. And then in chapter 26, we looked at the curtains that were inside the holy place, the coverings of the tabernacle outwardly, the connections of all the boards and sockets, the completion of the holy place. And in chapter 27, we looked at the centrality of the brazen altar, that the place that it had in the worship, and the court of the tabernacle, and then a command about the lampstand. And then last week in chapter 28, we looked at the clothing of the priest. The high priest wore a holy undergarment, a tunic, a robe of the ephod itself, the breastplate, a sash of the ephod, the turban, and then the holy crown, or which was the holy crown, which had on it holiness to the Lord. And then the other priests, they wore holy undergarments, tunics, sashes, and a bonnet. And then now in chapter 29 is the consecration of the priests. Now we mentioned last time we met that all believers are priests. The Protestant Reformation was fought over three major issues: the authority of Scripture alone, justification by faith alone, not by human performance or merit, and the priesthood of all believers, meaning we don't need somebody between us and the Lord. I can go directly to the Lord. You can go directly to the Lord. We don't need to confess our sins to anyone except to the Lord. We have direct access into the presence of God. Now, there's a dual application to the priesthood mentioned here in Exodus 29. First of all, the priesthood points to our great high priest, Jesus Christ. In the book of Hebrews chapter 3, it says, "Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our faith, Jesus Christ." There are a lot of things about the priesthood that point to Jesus Christ. In fact, everything does. And because we have a high priest, we're told in Hebrews chapter 10, "Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." A second application that is to all of us who are believers, for example, in 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter said, "As living stones, you're being built up as a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." So pointing to Jesus Christ, who's the high priest, and to the fact that we're priests. And there are a lot of things about the priesthood that have application to all of us. You say, "Wait a minute, I'm not planning to go into the professional ministry." Well, if you're a believer, that's too late. If you're a Christian, then you're already in the ministry. You've been bought with a price. You don't belong to yourself. And we're to glorify our Lord. It's too late to back out. But every believer is in the ministry, the service of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're all priests. We all have a role and a function and a responsibility before God. And some of the things in this chapter, I hope, will encourage us to be the kind of priests that God can use mightily. Now, the priest's role, in a nutshell, was to represent God to the people. And secondarily, to represent the people to God. I hope you pray for people. That's part of the priest's role. But in verses 1 through 9 of chapter 29, we have the specifics of preparation for the priesthood. It says in verse 1, "And this is what you shall do to them, to hallow them," meaning to set them apart, "for ministering to me as priest." But notice that carefully. For ministering to me. You know, when we serve the Lord. Though we serve people, sometimes we give in a cup of cold water to a small child, changing a diaper or vacuuming the floor, whatever it might be. We're serving the Lord. It's His ministry. He goes on to say, "Take one young bull and two rams without blemish, and unleavened bread and unleavened cakes mixed with oil, and unleavened wafers anointed or spread with oil. You shall make them of wheat flour. You shall put them," that is these cakes and wafers of unleavened bread, "in one basket and bring them in the basket with the bull and the two rams. And Aaron and his sons," Aaron was the high priest, "you shall bring to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and you shall wash them with water. Then you shall take the garments and put the tunic on Aaron and the robe of the ephod and the breastplate, and gird him with the sash, intricately woven band of the ephod. You shall put the turban on his head and put the holy crown on the turban. And you shall take the anointing oil and pour it on his head and anoint him. Then you shall bring his sons and put tunics on them, and you shall gird them with sashes, Aaron and his sons, and put the hats or the bonnets on them, and the priesthood shall be theirs for a perpetual statute." And then he says, "So you shall consecrate or ordain Aaron and his sons." In these 9 verses, we have the specifics here for consecrating the priests. It says to hallow them, which means to set them apart. To set them apart for God's use. Sanctification and holiness are the same thing. And both of those words are used in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. Sometimes the same word, the Hebrew word, kadosh, is translated as consecrate, ordain, sanctify, purify, or hallow. Both objects and people can be sanctified or set apart for God's use. The tabernacle, for example, was an object, but it was sanctified, set apart for God's use. You didn't have a garage sale in the tabernacle. It was for the worship of God and that alone. The furniture within the tabernacle, the court, all the priests, the garments that they wore, everything was set apart for God and His use. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, Paul said, "Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal: the Lord knows who are His, and let everyone who names the name of Christ," you name the name of Christ? "Let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity." See, you spoke before you knew what was going to be said. We need to depart from iniquity. "But in a great house," meaning the church, "there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor," meaning special use, "and some for dishonor," ordinary use. So in a great house, the church, for example, there's utensils that God uses, people, some of them are for special use, others are not. Just like at home, we have paper plates that we use when company's not there. When company come over, we bring out the fine china. Actually, it's America. We don't have China, but we have the fine America stuff, you know. And then Paul went on to say, "Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter," you know, we need to separate ourselves from those who call themselves Christians, but they're not. They're not set apart for God's use. "He will be a vessel," it says, "for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work." And then Paul said, "Flee youthful lusts and pursue after righteousness." If you want your life to be used of God, then you need to be careful who you hang out with. I need to be careful who I hang out with. I want to be around those who love the Lord, that are not going to take me down but bring me up to the Lord, you see. And this comes right out of the Old Testament system of worship. When you sanctify something, you set it apart for God to use, to be used of the Lord. Are we sanctified for the Lord's use in that sense? Have you said to the Lord, "Lord, my life belongs to you. Whatever you want to do with me, do it." Or are you still hanging on to some of the things of the old life that are dragging you back and keeping you from being used of the Lord? Paul put it this way in Romans chapter 12, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." You have to say no to the world and what it has to offer if you want to be set apart for God's use. You can't ride the fence. You can't do both. We lay our lives down on the altar. And the New Testament is filled with things that are right out of Exodus chapter 29. The Bible says that we're priests, a holy priesthood. Well, that being true, what are we supposed to do as priests? Well, primarily, we worship the Lord. But has our life been placed on the altar? Have we, like Paul said, laid our lives on the altar of sacrifice for God to do whatever he wants to do? Have you given the Lord all of yourself? Or just a part? Are we really set apart to serve him, or are we holding something back? If you do, if you hold back, you'll never be a vessel fit for the master's use. You'll never be that fine china as opposed to a paper plate. Aaron and his sons, they represent us, believers today. And as they were being set apart for the worship of God and for the service of God, so do we need to be. It also means to be set apart from sin. We're set apart from the world and we're set apart to God. Now, several things were involved in the consecration of these priests. Notice the condition of the animals that were to be sacrificed in verse 1. The bull and two rams without blemish. Why offer a sacrifice for the priests? Well, they're sinners like the rest of us. They needed to have a sacrifice for their sins. They're sinners just like the people they serve. Now, this is a reminder to us that before we can serve the Lord, we need to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. If you don't know the Lord and you're serving, it doesn't mean anything. We need to be cleansed. Peter said this, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like gold or silver, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot." And so the first part of our preparation in service to the Lord is the cleansing of our sins. And the bull and the rams were without blemish. They also picture the sinlessness of the sacrifice that was going to be a substitute for the sinner. I mean, what did the bull do? Nothing. What did those poor rams do? They didn't do anything to deserve death. They were a substitute, like Jesus is a substitute for you and I, the sinner. And notice the bread, the cakes, and the wafers, they're unleavened. Leaven in the scripture always speaks of sin. Why? Because you put a little leaven in that loaf, and it permeates, doesn't it? The next thing you know, it's like this. You let a little sin go in your life, and before you know it, it's taken you over. So you don't have bread with leaven in it. It's a picture that you take the sin out of your life. Notice also the cleansing of Aaron and his sons in verse 4. It says, "Wash them with water." And right in front of the tabernacle, before they could serve, was a basin of water where they were washed. And after that, they would sacrifice the animals, and before they would enter into the holy place, they would wash their hands and their feet. cleansing was always associated with worshiping the Lord. The washing of the hands and feet picture the defiling that you and I pick up as we walk through this world. We've been cleansed once and for all by the blood of Jesus Christ if we're born again. But as I walk through the world, you know, I see something, I hear something that's filthy. And I don't want that to cling to me. And so before I can come and worship the Lord, I want to wash my hands and feet. And that's what the priest did. Do you and I wash and cleanse ourselves that way before we come and worship the Lord? Or do we just cruise to church and not even give it a second thought, as though everything's okay? Now, this is also pictured not just in Exodus 29, but it was pictured the night before the crucifixion when Jesus sat down in John chapter 13 with his disciples. In fact, keep your finger in Exodus 29 and turn over to John 13. John chapter 13. Only those with clean hands and a pure heart can truly worship God. But in John chapter 13, verse 1, it said, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from the world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil already having put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and he had come from God and was going to God, rose up from supper, he laid aside his garments, he took a towel and girded himself. He's a servant. And after that, he poured water into a basin, began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said, Lord, are you washing my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, What I am doing, you don't understand, but you will after this. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. And Simon said to him, Lord, then not my feet only, but also my hands and feet. He was a little excited. And Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. He was speaking of Judas Iscariot, for he knew who would betray him. Therefore, he said, you are not all clean. You can turn back to Exodus 29. But the picture here, if you've been born again, you've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, then you are clean. But once in a while, you need to take a bath because the world defiles us. And especially when we come to worship the Lord, especially when we come together to worship the Lord together. We want to be clean. And so the Lord gave us 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're defiled as we walk through this world. So sacrifice for sins needed to be made. The hands and feet needed to be washed. And then they were dressed in their priestly garments, the tunic and the robe and the ephod and the breastplate and the sash and the turban and the holy crown with holiness to the Lord. And then they would pour the anointing oil over them. Now, wait a minute. You just bathed. You'd put on all these beautiful clean clothes. And now you pour oil all over them. You got to be kidding me. All over the clothes, all over their hair, the beard, all over them. I mean, it's dripping off of them. Now, my first inclination would be, get me a towel. But you can't worship the Lord without the Holy Spirit upon your life. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Sometimes those who have been cleansed, are a little short-sighted of what else they need. We also need the Holy Spirit upon our lives. Jesus told his disciples, even after 3.5 years of one-on-one ministry with him and where they learned from him and they watched him perform his miracles and all. And then after he was crucified and rose again from the dead, he said, but before you go, I'm sending you to the world, but before you go, you need to wait in Jerusalem for the Holy Spirit to come upon your lives. And that's the picture here. All of this stuff, they were going to be priests telling people about God and telling God about these people and praying for them. They were going to fulfill that role. The priesthood was over then because the sacrifice had been made once and for all. But they needed to have the Spirit upon them, and so do you and so do I. It says in Psalm 89, I have found my servant David, with my holy oil I have anointed him. Psalm 133 says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious oil upon the head, running down the beard of Aaron, running down the edge of his garments. So you know that when they poured that oil on him, it's all over them. The anointing oil represented the power of the Holy Spirit upon the life. We are all priests, but we need to be cleansed. And we need to have the Holy Spirit's power upon our lives to serve. God is a spirit. Those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so we need to be regenerated. We need to be washed. We need to be clothed in his righteousness. Not robes like the priests wore, but the righteousness of Christ. And then we need to be anointed by the Spirit in order to worship God. So for example, we're cruising to church on Wednesday night. What are the preparations that we've made? Or have we made any at all? Have we even stopped to say, Lord, would you forgive me for my sin? Would you forgive me? I've just walked through this world today and I'm dirty. I need to be cleansed. Would you forgive me? And then, Lord, would you fill me with your Spirit? And clothe me in the righteousness of Christ so that when I lift my hands, they're holy to you. Now in verses 10 through 14, the sacrifice of the sin offering. It says in verse 10, you shall also have the bull brought before the tabernacle of the meeting, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands on the head of the bull. Then you shall kill the bull before the Lord by the door of the tabernacle of meeting. You shall take some of the blood of the bull and put it on the horns of the altar with your finger and pour all of the blood beside the base of the altar. So this is the brazen altar. It had horns on the corner of it, and that's where they sacrifice the animals. But you kill this bull, and then you put blood on the horns of the altar, the four corners, and you shall take all the fat of the covers that covers the entrails, that's the inwards, the fatty lobe attached to the liver and the two kidneys and the fat that is on them, and burn them on the altar. But the flesh of the bull with its skin, meaning its hide and its offal, which is the dung, you shall burn with fire outside the camp. And it says it is a sin offering. And so the first thing that's done to consecrate the priest was to offer a bull as a sin offering. Remember, the priest is a sinner. Jesus is the only one who was sinless. The bull was a substitution for the priest's sins. That's why they laid their hands on the bull's head, to identify with that sacrifice. They confessed their sins. Some of the blood of the bull was put on the horns of the altar. That's in verse 12. The horns always speak of authority in Scripture. Interesting that the horns of the altar need blood on them. Why? Cleansing. Because spiritual authority, listen carefully, spiritual authority is not rooted in education or anything else. It's rooted in cleansing. It's rooted in cleansing. Spiritual authority rooted in cleansing. We need to be cleansed. And the burning of the fat in the inwards and everything, as the priests watched that, they'd realize that that life was being consumed on the altar before the Lord. And some of the smoke of the altar would rise up to the Lord. And the idea here is that God desires our lives to be consumed. Like Paul said, offer your body a living sacrifice to the Lord. It's pleasing to him. So the question is, how do you smell to the Lord tonight? Is your life on the altar as sacrifice, being burned up for him. I mean, there's nothing better to do with our lives than to just serve the Lord until we can't serve him anymore, until he takes us home to be with him. He wants all of us. And you know what? God is not going to drag you and I to the altar. He is not going to do that. We need to do this willingly. And the refuse, the part of the bull, the hide, the bowel system, the dung and everything, it's taken outside the camp and burned. It's a sin offering. And we're told why in Hebrews 13. It says, for the body of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin, remember, poured out under the altar and burned outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the camp. Jesus was crucified right outside the city proper of Jerusalem, right outside the gates. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. I don't know about you, but I want Jesus. I don't want religion. I want Jesus. And I want relationship with him. And if we have to go outside the camp of organized religion, then that's what we do. We want Jesus. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. You know, the cross is an offense. They're trying to take it off of buildings and out of our sight because it's offensive to people. It says there's only one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ and his crucifixion. We have no continuing city, it says in Hebrews, but we seek one to come. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Praise God, we don't have to take animal sacrifices anymore. The once and for all sacrifice of Christ ended that. But our sacrifice now is that of our lives, a burnt offering on the altar. And the sacrifice of our lips, we praise God. Now in verses 15 through 18, there was a smell associated with this burnt offering. Now the bull has already been sacrificed, and now one of the rams is going to be sacrificed. Remember, there were two of them. You shall take one ram, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands on the head of the ram. You shall kill the ram, and you shall take its blood and sprinkle it all around the altar. Then you shall cut the ram in pieces, wash its inwards and its legs, and put them with its pieces and with its head, and you shall burn the whole ram on the altar. It is a burnt offering to the Lord. It is a sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to the Lord. In the burnt offering, everything was burned. It was always the sign of a person's total dedication to the Lord, completely consumed. That's what Paul was talking about in Romans 12. But can you imagine the smell of this ram burning on the altar there? Smoke is everywhere. It stunk. But God says it's sweet to him. A life totally given over to God is sweet to him. You know what? People don't appreciate it, though. Does everybody understand? They call us Jesus freaks. To the world, it stinks, but to the Lord, he says, man, I love that life that's just poured out. It's just, there's an aroma that's reaching all the way to heaven with a life that's just poured out to God. It's just saying, whatever, Lord. And I can't think of anything better to do with my life than to burn out for the Lord. To be so on fire for the Lord that eventually my life is just consumed. It's one thing to have laid your hands on the sin offering. You've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but have you laid your hands on the burnt offering? Have you totally given your life over to him? See, some people are okay. Yeah, I'm saved. That's wonderful. That's all I need. In fact, I remember one day, I remember even the street I was on, driving home from work one afternoon. I had known the Lord for about 2 years, and I thought, you know what? I'm happy with my salvation, but that's enough, Lord. I praise God that I came to my senses. Have you dedicated yourself to the Lord in His service, just serving Him? Then there's the issue of the sprinkling of the blood all around the altar. Don't ever forget that the basis for our worship is always the blood, the cleansing of the blood. Blood on the altar, blood on the clothes of the priests and everything, reminding us that it's through the blood of Christ. And why wash the inwards and the legs? We're just going to burn it. What's that all about? Because God wants us to remember that we need to be clean before Him when we offer ourselves to Him on the altar of consecration. We need to be clean before the Lord. Don't come to church on Sunday, lift up your hands and singing all the songs, and you're living in sin. That does not work. That's not a sweet aroma at all. And notice the whole ram was sacrifice. How much of your life, how much of my life have I given to the Lord? He wants it all. He deserves it all. Have you ever tallied up how much time you spend on yourself during the day and then tallied up how much time you really turn over to the Lord that's His time? It's embarrassing. Now in verses 19 through 28, this is the sprinkling of the ram's blood. This is the second ram now. Remember, there's a bull and two rams to consecrate the priest. You shall also take the other ram, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands on the head of the ram. Then you shall kill the ram and take some of its blood and put it on the tip of the right ear of Aaron and on the tip of the right ear of his sons and on the thumb of their right hand and on the big toe of their right foot and sprinkle the blood all around on the altar. And you shall take some of the blood that's on the altar and some of the anointing oil and sprinkle it on Aaron and his garments and on his sons and on the garments of his sons with him, and he and his garments shall be hallowed or sanctified, and his sons' garments with him. You shall also take the fat of the ram, the fat tail, the fat that covers the inwards, the fatty lobe attached to the liver, the two kidneys and the fat of them, the right thigh, for it is a ram of consecration. Not a burnt offering now, but a consecration. One loaf of bread, one cake of oil, with one wafer from a basket of unleavened bread that's before the Lord, and you shall put all these in the hands of Aaron, in the hands of his sons, and you shall wave them as a wave offering before the Lord. This is a celebration. You shall receive them back from their hands and burn them on the altar as a burnt offering, as a sweet aroma before the Lord. It's an offering made by fire to the Lord. And then in verse 26, you shall take the breast of the ram of Aaron's consecration and wave it as a wave offering before the Lord, and it shall be your portion. This is what the priest got to eat. And from the ram of the consecration, you shall sanctify the breast of the wave offering, which is waved, and the thigh now of the heave offering, which is raised. The heave offering is waved up or raised up to the Lord of that which is for Aaron and which is for his sons. And it shall be from the children of Israel for Aaron and his sons a statute forever. For it is a heave offering. It shall be an offering from the children of Israel from the sacrifice of their peace offerings. The NIV says fellowship offerings. That is their heave offering to the Lord. And so the second ram, not the ram of the burnt offering, but the ram of the consecration or sanctification, the dedication of the priest, their entire life is symbolized by this burnt offering, but the dedication of their service to God is symbolized by the ram of consecration. Both are necessary. The blood of the second ram is placed upon the priest's right ear, his right thumb, and his right big toe. You say, that's kind of strange. The right ear, why? Because God wants you to listen to Him. Has God got your ear, you see? If I'm going to hear God correctly, even my ears need to be cleansed. Let's be careful what we listen to. There's a lot of trash out there, and we don't need to fill our minds with trash. We need to hear beautiful things and sweet things from the Lord. Our ears need to be consecrated to the Lord. But what about the thumb of the right hand? Why? Because my work needs to be dedicated to the Lord. The things that I put my hands to need to be clean and motive and proper before the Lord. And then the big toe of the right foot, because you and I need to walk with the Lord. Meaning we need to live our lives for the Lord. The priests were to be examples to the people. Then the anointing of the priest's garment. And here comes the oil again. Just in case we didn't get the lesson the first time. So the priest now smells like the smoke from the burnt offering. Blood has been sprinkled on him. And now oil comes again. The priest was a real mess by now. By the way, they used the incense, this beautiful fragrance. They burned it all the time. Why? Because the place smelled like a slaughterhouse. That animals were killed. Blood is everywhere. It's unbelievable. But what is the wave offering? You take something and you wave it before the Lord. It's celebrating what God is going to do. They took a portion of the animal, the breast of the animal, and they would wave it before the Lord. It was a celebration of what the Lord was going to do. And the Jews, they waved loaves of bread before the Lord on the Feast of Pentecost. They waved grain before the Lord on the Feast of First Fruits. It's a celebration. Celebrating what God's going to do. God was going to take care of all of their needs. And they were celebrating this. The priests were dedicating themselves totally to the Lord, trusting the Lord to take care of all of their needs. See, sometimes we're more worried about how we're going to be taken care of than serving the Lord. And in Philippians 4:19, it says, "My God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." This calls for celebration, and that's what they were doing. Now, what about the heave offering? This is not the breast of the ram, but the thigh, and they would heave that to the Lord. And it was to be eaten later on by the priest. It was a sign that you were going to sit down and fellowship with the Lord. I mean, nothing's better than a meal with somebody just to hang out. And this is picturing, after you do this, you've dedicated yourself totally to the Lord, and now you're going to sit down and enjoy a meal with the Lord. Let's just hang out with the Lord and fellowship with the Lord. Which reminds us, someday we're going to sit down together in the kingdom of God and enjoy the marriage supper of the Lamb. This was picturing this. And so maybe the next time you're in the kitchen and nobody's around, you just take that loaf of bread and you wave it before the Lord, you know, thanking him for all of his blessings. And then you take that ribeye steak and you heave that up to the Lord, you know. And then you sit down and have fellowship with the Lord. Reminding yourself that someday we're going to sit down with him and eat in the kingdom. Amen. Now here's the things that we need to ask ourselves, because we're priests, not with robes and doing all the strange things, but is Jesus your sin offering? He's the sin offering, but is he your sin offering? Have you been cleansed in the blood of Jesus Christ? Are we taking advantage of the daily cleansing? You know, we can be born again, but then we're not daily washing and cleansing ourselves from the defilement of this world, asking the Lord to forgive us. I'll tell you what, my entire day is, Lord, forgive me. Where'd that thought come from, Lord? Forgive me. You know, where'd that look come from? I mean, everything. The world's defiling us out there. Are we taking advantage of the Holy Spirit in our life? We need to be anointed. Have we offered our entire lives back to the Lord in dedication? Or are we holding something back from God? Is there something that's keeping us from just jumping in with both feet? is our ears, dedicated to God? Does he have your attention first thing in the morning? Or do you get up and turn on the radio? Christian radio is okay, I suppose. Is our toes set apart for God? Our hands, are they dedicated to God and for his service? Are we thankful, celebrating God's provision in our life all the time? And are we anticipating the marriage supper of the Lamb? I can't wait. It's going to be awesome. Now, don't forget, as priests, we represent God to people. What is your life, what is my life saying to the people around me about my God? And as priests, we also represent people to God. Who are you taking to the Lord daily and praying for? We all know people and we all love people that we know don't know the Lord. Are we taking them to God and lifting them up before God and praying for them and for their salvation? We're priests. We represent God to people and people to God. You didn't know there was so much stuff in here for us, did you? Application to us, right out of Exodus 29. Well, next week we'll finish, actually not next week, but the following week. Next week we're going to talk about the Passover. You don't want to miss next week. Sunday is Palm Sunday. We're going to talk about the triumphal entry of Christ Jesus into the city of Jerusalem. Then on Tuesday night, this is only for you guys, Psalm 110. It's so precious. And then Wednesday, the last Passover. Friday night is Good Friday. I was telling the guys last night that this is a wonderful week, an opportunity to be telling people about Christ all week long. And then Sunday, you don't want to forget that. That's resurrection. You don't want to leave Jesus in the grave. You got to come Sunday. You need to be here all week long. But the opportunity is wonderful. Think what it'd be like at work next week if on Monday you rolled into the office and you said, yeah, this is a special day. Well, what do you mean? Well, this is what happened on Monday in the life of Jesus. And then Tuesday, you roll in and say the same thing. And by Wednesday, they're asking you, tell me about what happened on Wednesday. You know, then on Good Friday. See, the world doesn't know. Let me tell you about what happened on Friday with Jesus. By then, you've got them hooked. You know, they're wanting to know. Well, why don't you come to church on Sunday and find out what happened? Amen. Yeah. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. We're just so thankful to know you, Lord. We're just so thankful, God. We're just so excited about you. And Lord, we confess to you tonight that many of us have been holding back a portion of our lives from you. We haven't jumped in with both feet. We're living really for ourselves and not for you. Lord, forgive us. And Lord, we mean to dedicate more of our lives to you, to just consecrate ourselves to you in a greater fashion, Lord. Show us the things that are keeping us from doing that, Lord. The things that are draining our energy away from you and away from worshiping you, Lord. And Lord, fill us with your Spirit. Lord, help us to think about these things the next time we come into your presence, the next time we lift our hands to you, that we sing songs of praise to you, Lord, the next time we come to fellowship with one another in this setting, Lord, that our hands are clean and our feet are clean, Lord. We've confessed our sins before you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the things you've shown us tonight, Lord. Help us now to apply them to our lives. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.